not what we want to hear. But we need to be alert. We need to watch. And the big thing that I gathered from everything I read to prepare for today is we need to hang on to faith. So I have a story for you here today that's a little bit different, but it makes some very good points, especially when we think we know it all. Sometimes we think so, don't we? So there was an atheist professor who was determined to prove one day that God does not exist, at least using scientific processes. He knew one of his students was a Christian, so he called on him and asked several questions to prove his point. He pointed to him in the hall and he said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" "Yes, sir." "So you believe in God?" "Yes, sir, absolutely." "Is God good?" "Yes, sir, he is." "Is God all-powerful?" "Yes, sir." "My brother died of cancer, even though he prayed to God to heal him. Most of us would attempt to help others who were ill. So if God is good and all-powerful, why didn't he heal my brother?" The student was silent. "Is Satan good?" "No, sir." "Where does Satan come from?" "Is there evil in the world?" "Yes." "Evil is everywhere, isn't it? And God did make everything, correct?" "Yes." "Is there sickness, immorality, hatred, ugliness? All these terrible things exist in the world, don't they? So who created evil?" The young man was silent. "Science says you have 5 senses with which to experience many things in the world. They're vital to our understanding of things. So tell me, son, have you seen God?" "No, sir." "Have you ever tasted or smelled God? Have you had any sensory perception at all of God?" "No, sir, I'm afraid I haven't." "But you still believe in God?" "Yes, sir, I do." "So according to all empirical evidence, science says that your God doesn't exist. What do you say to that?" "Nothing. I only have my faith." "Yes, faith," said the professor. "And that is the problem that science has." The student stood quietly for a moment and then asked the professor, "Do you believe in heat?"
"Yes."
"And do you believe there's such a thing as cold?"
"Of course," replied the professor.
"Nope," said the student, "there isn't." "Sir, you can have lots of heat. You can have super heat, mega heat, a little heat, a lot of heat, no heat at all, but we don't have anything called cold. Cold is only a word we use to describe the absence of heat. Heat is energy. Cold is not the opposite of heat, it's just the absence of it." "What about darkness, sir? Do you believe darkness exists?"
"Well, of course, what is night if it isn't darkness?"
"You believe in light?"
"Yes, of course I do."
"We can have low light, bright light, brilliant light, flashing lights, but if you have no light, it's called darkness. Darkness is just the absence of light." "Okay, so what's the point you're making, young man?"
"My point, sir, is that your philosophical premise is flawed."
"Sir, you are working on the premise of duality. You argue that there is life and that there is death, that there is a good God and that there is a bad God. You are viewing God as something finite, something we can measure. But, sir, science can't even explain a thought. It uses electricity and magnetism, but science has never seen, much completely understood, either one. To view death as the opposite of light is to be ignorant of the fact that death cannot exist as a substantive thing, according to your measurement of God's existence. Death is not the opposite of life, it's just the absence of it. Now tell me, Professor, and the professor was kind of shaking his head and feeling a little cornered by now, do you teach your students that they evolved from a monkey? Well, if you're referring to the natural evolutionary process, of course I do. The student went on, have you ever observed evolution with your very own eyes, sir? No answer. Since no one has ever observed the process of evolution at work and cannot even prove that this process is an ongoing endeavor, are you not teaching your opinion, sir? Are you a scientist or a preacher? Then the student turned around and addressed the rest of the class gathered in the hall. Is there anyone here who has ever seen the professor's brain? Well, by then, the giggling started. Has anyone ever felt it, smelled it, heard it, sensed it in any way? And the only response was laughter. So the student continued, looking at the professor. Well, sir, based on your protocols for proving something's existence, science says, with all due respect, sir, that you do not have a brain. So then how do we trust your lectures? The stunned professor replied, rather sheepishly, I guess you'll have to take them on faith, son. That's it, sir, exactly. So, here we are today. Why? Because we have faith and we have hope. The link between God and man is faith. That's what keeps things alive and moving, and that's what helps us to hold on to the Word of God in Christ. Our psalm today puts it so well. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all day long. We begin our season of waiting today. We wait with the prophets of the Old Testament who waited for centuries for the Messiah they foresaw when God spoke to them. The candle we lit today honors those prophets and the hope they brought to a world in chaos. And think about it. From Adam and Eve, haven't there been a series of battles, people living in darkness and despair, life a constant struggle to survive? We light the candle of hope to watch for the Messiah, the Emmanuel. And like my student in the story said, darkness is a word we use to describe the absence of light, or as we see today, the absence of hope. The prophets Isaiah, Micah, Zechariah, Daniel, Hosea, and Samuel all got it right. They pointed out things that would happen centuries before they actually happened. Stories of a virgin birth in Bethlehem, that Jesus would enter Jerusalem riding a donkey, that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, that he would die a sacrificial death, and that he would rise from the dead. Thousands of years before Christ was born, they knew this to be a real thing. Finally, the last prophet of the Old Covenant, the promise that God made to Moses after the great flood, was John the Baptist, a cousin to Christ. And John the Baptist baptized Christ. Jesus would now be the new covenant, the new promise. So today we wait for Christ once again to bring us light, to banish the darkness still present in our world. We don't live in a peaceful world even yet. We still haven't learned. And we prepare the way for the Lord to come to us. And how do we prepare? Well, last year I got tagged with the first Sunday in Advent again, and I talked about what kind of hay we would put in the manger for baby Jesus to lay in. I wonder if any of you have given some thought to that during the past year. What kind of hay have you been growing? Are we bringing fresh, clean hay to the manger, or is our hay soiled and dark? Have we brought light to the lives of others, and have we shared God's light and hope that we experienced? It's pretty simple, you know, or at least it can be. It might be opening a door when you see someone coming with arms full. It might be picking up something that another person has dropped and you're right there. It's handy for you to pick it up. Perhaps you greeted a stranger in a store or on the street and just offered a smile and, "Nice day, isn't it?" Or, knowing us up here recently, "A little bit chilly today, isn't it?" But it's acknowledging that that person exists. It might be remembering to buy some extra groceries to put in your cart for the food shelf, serving in helpful ways at church, reading lessons, lighting candles, running the sound booth, playing the organ, receiving the offering, serving coffee, and inviting others around you to join us for coffee and a little something, our fika et mol. It's about finding joy and gratitude in every day of your life, even on the bad days. There's always something to be grateful for. And there's beauty and joy even in the darkness if you look for it. But sometimes you just have to raise your head and look for it. I'm sure I've told you before about the beautiful things that happened when our daughter Jenny died. People were so loving and treated us with such tender, loving care. There's so much beauty in sharing God's love and light with others. And we live in uncertain times right now, to be sure. When we read that gospel lesson, we might see some parallels to what's going on in the world now. But no doubt many generations of the past could have said the same thing. So we hang on to the light. We hang on to hope. And like those of you, if you're old enough to remember that old movie, Pete's Dragon, Helen Reddy sang a beautiful song, Candle on the Water. So let's try to be a candle on the water for others. Keep our candles burning, and don't let Satan them out, right?